Okay. Hi, everyone. It's Liz here. I asked on a note to the group prior to the call starting if someone would volunteer to coordinate the group. I'm happy to do it, but I did want a volunteer if someone was there. But given that there's a small number, I'm happy to do it, and I'm happy to take the notes as we go along and distribute them after. What would everyone prefer to do? Does silence mean assent?
It does indeed.
Hi, John. How are you? There's John Bing as well.
Yeah.
Oh, hi there. Okay. There's been a fair amount of traffic going backwards and forwards, and I just thought I'd give a quick overview for the group from where we're starting. Sorry, who joined?
I'm sorry, this is John. Neva, can we take a roll first?
Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you, John.
Shall
yes.
I do a roll,
please,
for you, Liz, because I can see who's on. We've got Liz Williams staff. We've got John Bing, Milton Mueller, Caroline Shikoin, John Nevitt, Miriam Sapiro, and David Maher. Do you need any introductions for any of the people on the call?
No, that's fine. Thanks, Glenn, unless anyone has any questions. And apologies from Tony Harris and Adrian Kinder.
Apologies from Tony Harris and from Adrian.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, John Nevitt, for reminding me. I sent out an overview on Monday, the 9th of July, about the recommendation as it was currently drafted, just so that everybody had the most current draft in front of them. Then, after last week's conference call, Becky Burr had sent some suggestions, and there had been some traffic from Milton and, no, not from Milton, from Robin and from J. Scott Evans and from others about this, and Milton asked me today whether there was a mailing list archive on it. There is not. It's just a small group discussion to report back to the general group for Friday, and for that piece I do want somebody from the group to volunteer to actually do that on behalf of the group. So the intention of today's meeting is to discuss the traffic that has gone on over the last, let me see, since Friday, so it's several days of conversation, to answer two questions. One is whether the group is satisfied with the drafting as it currently stands, and then the second one is to discuss the suggestions which a number of people have made, including Becky, and I'm assuming that everybody has read the threads of discussion. So perhaps what I'll do is I'll open it up to somebody. If someone wants to make a cue, then great, but otherwise just speak up and we'll just do a quick précis around the room, first of all, and then move on to the substantive discussion of the suggestions. Anyone want to just put their oar in first, please?
Hi, this is Milton.
Anyone else for the queue?
Caroline.
Yep. Milton, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we were in Rec 6 particularly interested in simply striking the words morality and public order as being somewhat distorting of the general intent of you can say the string should not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms or to enforceable internationally recognized principles of law. There's no reason to draw out morality and public order in particular. We would be quite happy if that were stricken, and we don't think that it really costs anybody anything, so I hope that we could agree on that.
Caroline, is Milton, were you done? Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Caroline, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, I just had a quick question on, and this is something because I've just kind of been thrown into it, so I apologize if I don't know, but whether the Paris Convention covers unregistered marks, you know, and if not, you know, again, whether we need to explore that.
Where's our trademark attorneys? Was that a question, Caroline?
Well, I question just that, you know, in terms of, because it looks like the way that, and I want to be sure that I'm reading this, the recommendation is currently drafted as your number one in your email, but that it references specific treaties and, you know, and conventions and things. And so I just don't know. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time because I just got brought into this to confirm that covers that. And, you know, so I raised that question, and then whether, if it doesn't, then whether there needs to be something that addresses unregistered.
Cool. David Maher, did you have anything particular to add on that one?
No, I don't. That's just
okay.
John Bing.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a bit afraid that there will be sort of grave difference in detail. I mean, if you're going to go into detail, so which restrictions are exemplified, both registered and unregistered trademarks and so on, it sort of will start crying for being more specific in other matters as well. So I'm just wondering whether one shouldn't rather try to keep the first and the second part of this recommendation on the same level of generality, you know.
John, it's Liz here. May I just ask you a clarifying question on that one? Becky sent around some suggested
yep.
texts which included things like, and I'll just read it for the group if they don't have it in front of them, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which we'd already had included,
mm-hmm.
the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, which we mm-hmm. had not included, the International Covenant on Economic, Cultural and Social Rights, which was also a new one, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights, which we had already included, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and the Paris Convention for the Protection of Intellectual Property, which was her quote, which is actually industrial property, to
yeah.
be precise.
That's correct.
And Becky had made some suggestions that including those tests may well be, and this is where we keep getting unstuck, we have to use these things as a, not as recommendations per se, but really as suggestions for how an evaluator might assess an objection to an application, and that they may well use these tests.
Yep.
Becky came back to me separately, and I just wanted to double check this with everybody, that said, and I'm just quickly looking for it now, she said, Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability is not yet in force, so it should come off the list, and the reference to the Paris Convention, which we've just corrected, and she says, technically, conventions are enforceable and declarations are not.
Yeah, she means legally binding, I think.
Yes.
Legally binding by the parties.
That was a long-winded question. My question about the drafting was, with respect to Becky's suggestion, is it useful to include the conventions which are enforceable and take out the things which are not, which are just declarations?
The declarations are not legally binding. I think that is the different names of these instruments are really references to the constitution of the different international organizations, which either have created the instruments or was created by the instruments, like the Paris Convention is created by the same convention it operates, and from those basic there is the difference of, for instance, a recommendation and a convention and a declaration, and there may be different nuances in that respect. So I think there is no generally universal inter-organizational vocabulary for what is enforceable and what is not enforceable.
Okay. Thanks, John. Did anyone have any other questions or comments to make?
Mrs. Milton again. On the question of enforceability, as I recall, Becky's comment pointed out that even though the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was a declaration, that if some other activities or agreements had made certain parts of it enforceable, so that there was a complexity there that she was hoping we could somehow take into account.
Yeah, Milton, thanks for that. And I hadn't got to the second paragraph of what she had, the second sentence of what she said in her second paragraph. She says, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was made enforceable through several of the conventions, so some tweaking of this language may be in order.
Hey, Liz, this is John. Could I just ask a gating question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
It sounds like folks are in agreement, or at least I'm not hearing much dissension, that we should move from the current language to more of the Becky language, and then and then edit it to some extent? Is that where we're headed?
Then there's a second question, dating question, John. Milton, could I just go back to you? And because what we're trying to do is address the NCUC's concerns, which in part have been addressed by the substitution of freedom of speech with freedom of expression. And then, if I understand you correctly, Milton, your second concern is the use of the four words, morality and public order. Yes? Is
right.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So then the first gating question is, with the removal of those four words, you would be satisfied that the existing drafting would be okay?
Yeah, it's a bit redundant. I mean, you're saying generally accepted legal norms that are enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be cleaned up, but basically, yeah, and then you have to have the right examples in there.
Yeah, that's right, and that's the second stage of the question.
Yes, that would make us happy.
So, but does that combine 3 and 6?
No, it doesn't, John. Would you mind, John, if we just went through something for a second? Because I want to test with Milton if we can get to the point where...
No, test away. I'll enjoy that.
Would you mind if just let it go for a second? So, Milton, if I understand you correctly, just leaving aside 3, because there was general agreement last week that people were happy with that because it included the additional principle G, and that the others were happy with, everyone was happy with that for 3 for a second. It seems to me that there are 2 things here, and everyone can jump in immediately if I'm wrong, is that the new drafting could read, strings must not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms, delete relating to morality and public order, carry on with, that are enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law, full stop. Is that...
Yeah, with the cleaning up. That's
Yep, and then next piece of cleaning up says, and it's not actually part of the recommendation, this is, because I think this is where we get, this is what we should perhaps do if people are happy with this. If you wished, it might be helpful to use the examples that are already in the current draft and take Becky's ones and use them. And Miriam, I'm waiting for you to jump in here.
Okay.
And turn this into an implementation guideline that staff might use to help with instructions for applicants on the one hand, with instructions about dispute resolution processes and objection processes and tests that evaluators may use in a dispute resolution or objection process.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate characterization of what we're trying to get to here?
Yes, I this is John Bing again.
Yep,
I think that is correct. I personally think that the examples provided by Becky are excellent.
Yep.
But they make the text rather unbalanced because it becomes such a long text. And
sure.
It also raises the question, if something is left out of this exemplification, does it mean that it is excluded or is it just...
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
So that is my own... But if it was made into an implementation guideline, those problems would probably be not so obvious.
Mm.
And we perhaps could concentrate on the more problematic element of this recommendation, which is the first sentence.
So if I could just recap, Milton, if I just could go around the room if I can remember everybody. Milton, would you have an issue with that as it stands? just leaving aside what could be an implementation guideline, just the first sentence.
Strings must not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms that are enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law.
Are you happy with that?
As a person who believes in clear, concise language, I'm not, but in terms of substance, I am.
Thank you. Okay, we'll deal with the clear, concise language in a second. I want to get to a general level of principle where we can seek agreement. Could I have comments from anybody else about their constituency's views or their individual views about that text?
David, I support it.
Thank you, David. Anybody else?
This is John. I'm only speaking on behalf of myself. The registrars don't have a position on this issue yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I would delete a generally accepted in the first time you use it. So
yep.
Just to clean it up, I think that may help make it more concise. But other than that, yes, I'm fine with it.
So your suggested redraft is delete under internationally recognized.
It's not contrary to legal norms that are enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law.
Got it. Thank you.
And I support that change also.
Thank you, Milton.
I have a problem with enforceable, as you know. It may either be seen as a characterization, and then I'm happy with it.
Yes.
But if it's taken on face value and it has to be enforceable, mm-hmm. then I think it is extremely difficult. I think, for instance,
would you prefer recognize?
Yes, or perhaps delete it altogether. That are generally accepted and internationally recognized principle of law. But the enforceable thing, for instance, blasphemy would not be enforceable under internationally recognized principle of law, I think.
Does anyone have an issue with John's friendly amendment?
John, let me just ask you, your example of blasphemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not enforceable, that means that the string cannot be... I mean, do you want these committees deciding what's blasphemous?
No, I don't. But I do want them to have the authority to, for instance, to not accept Allah.com, .Allah, as a top-level domain.
You do want that?
I do want that, yes.
What was that, dot what?
Allah.
Dot Allah.
And Allah.
And, or dot Buddha, or dot great Christ.
What internationally recognized principle of law would that violate?
That is open to question. I'm not saying that it does violate it. I said that I'd want them to have the authority to deny it.
Do you want some subjectivity or some?
Yeah. Well, they then would have to decide whether it is in violation of accepted and international recognized principle of law. If they decided it is, then they would be able to have the authority to deny it.
Then I don't agree with your proposal.
Right. Then there's a difference of opinion in substance, right?
John, may I just, and John and Milton, may I just ask a secondary question here to see if we can unravel this, because we're making tremendous progress. Just dealing with enforceable for 1 second, Miriam had made a suggestion to substitute the word enforceable with enforced.
Oh, okay.
As in the past, enforced, but had been enforced in the past. Miriam, would you mind just providing a little bit of background on that discussion that we had separately, if you can?
Yes, certainly, Liz. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. International law is generally enforced on a state-to-state basis. So I raised the question of whether the council means enforceable, which suggests more of a theoretical sense, and also raises the question of enforceable by who against who, or by which state against which state, or do they mean that have been recognized or have been enforced in the past tense, meaning that they actually, in a less theoretical sense, have been rights that have been asserted successfully.
Yeah. But I do not want to be difficult, because I'm in general in agreement with this, as you understand. I just have, if Miriam could help me to understand what enforced would mean. Would, for instance, the fatwa against Salman Rushdie be seen as enforcement?
Could you repeat that?
The attempt by certain Islamic groups to kill Salman Rushdie could be seen as an enforcement of...
Not to kill, but the fatwa was really a sentence, wasn't it, to say that this is illegal under Muslim law.
But that is not generally accepted and internationally recognized.
You're quite right. That certainly is quite right. But my question was whether that was looked upon as an enforcement.
Enforced under generally accepted, and that's a phrase. That's not a term taken in isolation.
let's take another example. I was only thinking of an unilateral attempt to enforce general accepted and international recognized principle of law. Or is my suspicion correct that this really is an empty word, that you wouldn't change the meaning if it struck enforced or enforceable, and it only referred to generally accepted internationally recognized principle of law?
No, I think Miriam's proposal is, at least from my point of view, is quite improvement in the precision and eliminating various kinds of trouble that might arise with this concept of potentially enforceable. But we do want to say that it is enforced under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law, not simply that it is enforced, period.
Oh, yes, I agree. But if it is generally accepted and internationally recognized principle of law, do you also require that it is enforced?
I would, yes.
May I ask a question?
How is using your example, John Bink, Dad Allah, has that been enforced? How would that fall in this?
I don't think that has been enforced as an example, but you could perhaps put it on a more general level and say that has been enforced, that blasphemy has been enforced internationally. I do not know. I have no knowledge of that.
John, is your question that some rights, perhaps, that are indisputable at the same time have not yet been enforced?
My example really was copyright. Copyright is the Berne Convention is generally accepted and recognized under the principles of law, but the Berne Convention itself is not enforceable or enforced.
Yeah.
Otherwise, in bilateral relations. So Miriam's, that's why I asked the question, actually.
Yeah.
Miriam's solution may be the solution to change this to enforced.
Yeah, or, I mean, the other alternative is up to you all, but having recognized also has a concreteness to it that could be helpful in implementation. Like there wasn't support for that earlier, but then it does get you away from the question, the debate, which continues over which aspects of international law are enforceable by who.
Because it is agreed, isn't it, that enforcing is an example of recognizing. So there will be ways of recognizing principle or laws which are not enforcement, but if it is enforced, that certainly is one way of recognizing it.
John, this is Milton. I find that argument something I could accept. However, you threw a real obstacle into it by using this example of dot Allah. Under what condition could you say that a dot Allah would be prevented under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law?
Oh, I couldn't say that. So I may be completely wrong in using that example. I'm not insisting on it.
So in that case, I would have no problem if we dropped the whole enforce word if you're saying essentially that recognition, that enforcement is an example of recognition. But I would have to consult with the other members of my constituency. Can you give me an example of how dropping the word enforced or enforceable would permit or not permit something that, if you left the language in, things would be different? Give me some cases of how you think it would be different.
Well, wouldn't it be Becky Burr's suggestion if you take what a convention versus declaration? But technically, if you used enforced, it would only apply to...
Perhaps I can help here, Milton. If we just have a little quick recap on what's acceptable, strings must not be contrary to generally accepted legal norms relating, that are internationally recognized principles of law, removing enforceable, and then the second paragraph would deal with your sets of examples, and we could come back from the staff side, because we've done a lot of this work in the implementation planning to put a series of names, and Miriam can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I do think that Allah was one of them. Because remember, what we're trying to do here is create a series of tests that we could provide instructions to evaluators for, internationally recognized independent evaluators, that they would be used to test whether an objection was sustainable to a string. So for example, sorry Miriam, did you have something to say?
Well, I think that's correct in terms of having to scope out the tasks for the evaluators. Maybe it's helpful to pose the same question to Milton in the sense of why does the current formulation give you more comfort as opposed to the change? I think in both cases, there's probably subjectivity here. I think there definitely is subjectivity here. It's just a question of how can we narrow that?
So I think it's very clear what my concern is. And to take the .Allah case, I can register a domain name, Allah.com, in the United States or in maybe 50 other countries. It's not illegal. I can name my vegetable company Allah if I want to, and it's not enforceable. The Islamic countries that think I shouldn't do that cannot in any way enforce that a prescription or prohibition against me using that word.
In the United States, Milton, yes.
Right. And Milton, is there any word that you would think would fall under this provision? Meaning, is there any string that would not be accepted under this provision in your eyes?
Oh, sure. There would be certain kinds of obscene words and racially charged words that under these conventions that are being listed could be invoked.
Okay, so Allah is a bad example, whereas, you know, some obscene word would not be...
Right.
Okay. What about this? Strings must not be contrary to recognized and generally accepted principles of international law.
Go to the top of the class, Mr. Nevitt.
What? Say that again?
Strings must not be contrary to recognized and generally accepted principles of international law.
What happened to enforce?
We dropped it. So that way we're not deciding between enforce, enforceable, it's recognition that matters, right? I mean, a law may be on the books that has not had an enforcement action yet that, you know, some obscene word, for example, in your example, that there may not be an enforcement action on dot obscene word,
but the principle of law is what we're talking about. We
exactly.
Know.
That's why I say strings must not be contrary to recognized and generally accepted principles of international law. Enforceability is pretty irrelevant, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. I think, let me just think about this for a second.
This is something. The problem was formulated very well, that there may be generally accepted principles, but which has been so generally accepted that nobody has actually violated them. So it, at this moment, it's not enforced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not my concern. My concern
no,
is
that's right.
That you can say something is internationally recognized in 30 countries, but in 20 other countries, it's not recognized.
Yeah, that's why we have generally accepted in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So generally means universally.
No, it doesn't. Generally means in most cases.
Well, this may get to the point of the second part of this, where, I don't know, Milton, I don't want to speak for you, but maybe there's more comfort if you have, which, you know, in this, at least in the one current draft, that there is in particular limitations to freedom of expression rights. Mm-hmm. So that you're basically saying, in other words, you don't trump one or another, so there is some subjectivity that's going to happen. And it will fall back on the generally accepted as to which they feel is the generally accepted. But
the other challenge we've got, Milton, is we can't design a static process. So, for example, if this was used for, thinking about this in implementation, if this was used for round one, let's say, and we had a whole bunch of objections to particular words, and I was just reminded here for everyone to read J. Scott Evans's posting too, which he wasn't able to post to the general list, but he sent some more information about the distinction between speech and messages, which is the First Amendment protection distinction. I'm just leaving that aside for a moment. Melton, if you think about this in implementation, then perhaps this is one of those things where we aren't going to get it absolutely, absolutely correctly right and universal and completely acceptable until we have one go through the process. And there has already been included in the text that after the closing of the first round, an evaluation is done to either tighten or relax the provisions for this. So this could well be another implementation guideline that this group might recommend, that on this particular area specifically, specific analysis is done about how the recommendation is implemented and then how it's used within the implementation process for application evaluation and managing an objection process, so that we can make sure that we remain flexible, because I would hate us to end up with an inflexible recommendation that had to be undone because it created so many problems, rather than looking for some flexibility in the first round and then amending it and tweaking it as was necessary.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to go along with this, but I want to. Can you repeat for me now what is in recommendation 3? Because I haven't been in that.
Sure. Shall I read that for you?
Yeah.
Strings must not infringe the existing legal rights of others that are recognized or enforceable under generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law.
And then, do you have examples?
Yes, they're the ones that are underneath that are exactly the same in Section 6, in Recommendation 6. I can read them for you.
Okay.
Examples of these legal rights that are internationally recognized include, but are not limited to, rights defined in the Paris Convention for the Protection of Industrial Property, brackets, in particular trademark rights, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, in particular, let me just turn over my page, as it relates to freedom of expression.
Good. So that would be a protection against... So I would be happy with Recommendation 6. It says simply, strings must not be contrary to legal norms that are generally accepted.
Remember, John left out legal norms. John, would you mind reading what you were... I think that you had it captured right. Or did you write something else down, Milton?
I basically am simply taking Rec 6 as it stands, and we're striking the first generally accepted, we're striking relating to morality and public order, and we're striking enforceable under.
We added, though, I think, to recognized and generally accepted.
Yeah, what I have is strings must not be contrary to recognized and generally accepted principles of international law. I think the legal norms that was relating to the public morality and morality and public order.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then essentially, John is okay, as I understand it.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Milton. Then in that case, if we could, is everyone happy with that? Because these are the notes that are going to go to the broader group to say that the group has reached agreement on the drafting of this Section 6, and they'd be seeking the ratification of the broader group.
Caroline?
Yep, Caroline, thank you.
I just had a question, because it seemed like you had, in this last round, had moved the internationally. So now it's not principles of law, but it's principles of international law. And I guess I'm a little more comfortable having it, you know, that generally accepted or internationally recognized principles of law.
I'll just read back the text that I have written down, and everyone can correct me. We need to get this correct. Strings must not be contrary to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law.
That's fine with me.
That's fine with me.
Everyone?
Yeah, the only issue now is if we have deleted enforced...
Wait, can you read that back, Liz?
Yes, I can, Miriam. One more time for everybody. Strings must not be contrary to generally accepted and internationally recognized principles of law.
So it's struck all the
things. Right. Question, if you're referring to law as opposed to international law, does that, would that enable a country to say, well, this is our law and it is widely recognized?
Right. I think you have to have international
law. It's a question.
That's, but I did read internationally recognized principles of law.
At least that's what I noticed as internationally recognized.
Okay. Well, we can interpret that as international law.
Okay. If everyone's happy with that, here's what I propose to do, we'll just go to the next stage to see if we can take this one little step further. The second part of the recommendation is including the examples. Yeah? What I suggest we do is remove the examples from the recommendation, but insert a sentence that says, refer to implementation guideline for recommendation 6 in the implementation guidelines. And then we'll do some further work on establishing a fairly robust but also sensible but also consistent list of tests that would be used in an objection process to deal with a problematic or controversial string. Is that satisfactory to everybody?
It gives me some pause. I think if this recommendation stands barefaced on its own without the example, both in Rec 3 and Rec 6, I feel a little more uncertain about it. I think it doesn't...
I'm happy to leave it in, Milton. I was just making a suggestion because we're struggling with the examples, the difference between conventions and the difference between enforceable.
But if you could leave that in the recommendation, we would feel more comfortable.
How does everybody else feel about leaving it in, but then just doing some work on the text there to provide a better list of examples?
I don't have major objections to it. One, I noticed TRIPS. Was TRIPS in there?
No, but it's on my notes.
It's on your notes. Okay, all right.
The Berne Convention and TRIPS is on there.
Okay.
Included.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you make very clear, because I think all of us have concerns that this is not, you know, that this is not an exhaustive list, and that it's just there representative to give people a flavor for what we
anticipate. That's why the phrase, but are not limited to, is very important in that description.
Right, and whether people feel better having, you know, another statement at the end, you know, that says, and notwithstanding whatever, you know, other whatever are, you know, whatever. I'm fine with the way it is, but if another language that just says what it already says makes people feel better.
Milton, are you happy then to make a new paragraph there, tidy up the drafting for the second part of the recommendation and include some more examples?
I'm sorry, I kind of dropped out a bit there. Can you say that again?
Sorry. Are you, and of course the question is also open to everybody else, are you happy then for me to improve the drafting of the second paragraph of it to include some of Becky's language and then send out a new recommendation 6? Because you seem to want some comfort of having the examples within the recommendation.
Right. I think that would be a good idea. And with Becky's examples, you're simply adding the conventions on racism.
Just hang on a second. I'll open them up and I'll just read them off quickly because I had them all ready for everybody. Just bear with me one second.
Again, I can ask a question because of this. I assume that, like you said, after this call, will you be sending something out so that I don't have to write this down? Okay.
No, you do not have to write it down.
I need to report back. So
No, you don't have to write it down, and I'll send it around to this group before it goes on to the big group.
Okay.
It was the one on disabilities. It was the one on discrimination against women. It was the one on discrimination about... there we go. There it is.
Disabilities have to go off because that's not...
Not enforceable. Becky included Declaration of Human Rights, which we already have.
It's widely adhered to, even though... It's a matter, it's not enforceable.
Sure. International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination.
Right.
International Covenant on Economic, Cultural, and Social Rights.
That one is not as widely adhered to as some of the others.
Okay.
So people know, you all can decide what you want to do, but it also has a notion inherent in the drafting of progressive implementation. It recognizes some of the rights are more aspirational than actual at the time that countries sign it. You might want to think about whether or not that's the one.
Yeah. This is Caroline. I would just add there that to the extent we start listing a bunch of them, though, again, those will be used by people as examples. So if we had a discussion about, I don't know enough about, I have not looked at these declarations and things to know what they involve, but if they are something that's really not generally and internationally recognized, we should be careful about listing them. Otherwise, they'll be used as support for things that don't have generally accepted, and then we just kind of eliminated the...
That's right. That's my concern. That's why I want some examples in there.
Okay. I've got it. That's fine. Sorry, Milton, you were going to say something else?
I just said what Carolyn just said was exactly what my concern was that we would... we want examples in there which are very clear examples of generally accepted and internationally recognized conventions.
So the broad list. What if Miriam and I take an action item? Miriam, I'm dobbing you in, I'm sorry. Miriam, would you mind if you and I had a discussion offline and we'll produce the generally accepted list and then we'll perhaps provide some text on why we wouldn't include particular things, for example, on your progressive implementation and on the one about the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities is not actually in force, agreed yet, so we wouldn't include that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be able to perhaps we could take that up separately, Miriam?
Sure.
Is that all right? Okay.
Is the group's view that it's better to have a list than not?
Okay. All right. I'm amazed. Fantastic. I really want to thank you all so much for that really helpful session. Is there anything else anyone wanted to offer or question or clarify?
Well, there was a comment earlier, and I apologize that I'm not so immersed in this.
Go ahead, Caroline.
About the combination of the recommendations, have some emails, and are we leaving that to
yes, we're leaving
day?
Three separate, but what
separate,
I'll do
right, okay,
is,
just want to make sure.
Yeah, Caroline, what I'll do on with respect to three is that I'll ensure that the text is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in three, there are examples of these legal rights, and I'll make them consistent between the two.
Okay, yep. But I just want to make sure you were keeping them separate.
Yep, I'm keeping them separate.
Okay.
Yeah, there was fairly strong language about that in San Juan, so I suspect that we won't combine the two. Any other questions from anyone?
Can I just ask a question to the Arizona implementation and to some smart people on this call? In three, when it says does not infringe the existing legal rights of others, when it was drafted, was the intention mostly trademark or also that were specifically discussed? It would just be helpful to know if there was any additional detail on which rights are at issue.
Yeah, it's freedom of expression in addition to trademarks. That's one of the big concerns that we had.
But if a string is approved, what is the relationship to freedom of expression?
The point is you can't tell somebody that they can't use a word.
Sorry, Milton, come back to the phone. You dropped out.
I said you can't tell somebody that they can't use a string simply because it's politically unpopular or when they would have an existing free expression right to use that term. Do you understand?
This is raising the question because it says strings must not infringe, so...
Well,
I
thought we fixed that. I thought we talked about the string evaluation process or the approval. So that wasn't fixed?
Yes, Milton, you keep dropping out, so I can perhaps answer for you. That was included by the insertion of a principle G.
Okay, and what is that?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Wait a sec, I just have to go to a different page. That the string evaluation process, the application evaluation process would not... Bear with me one second, sorry. Sorry. Could you just bear with me 1 second, please?
Sure, no problem.
I feel like a circus master some days.
But you are.
Oh, yeah, and it's the nasty lines that I'm a bit tired of. Hang on a minute. There we go.
I have to follow the elephant.
Thanks, John. Principal G reads... there's a new Principal G, which Robin agreed to last week, Milton, which is... I'm just opening the file. I'm sorry. I should have had it open already.
I'm perfectly willing to wait.
Yep. Here we go. New Principal G that says... the string evaluation process must not infringe the applicant's freedom of expression rights that are protected under internationally recognized principles of law.
Okay.
And that was the piece that we dealt with, so we didn't have to go back and amend recommendation mm-hmm. 3, but that the process concerns were addressed in a principle.
Mm-hmm.
And there were questions about the quote-unquote trumping of a principle against a recommendation, but there wasn't that at all. And there's no intention at all that just because it's a principle it would have any less force. And, of course, the rider to all of this is the board will be responsible for implementing the recommendations and determining which things are actually put into the implementation plan. So that's how that stood.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions or things that we needed to deal with? Okay. I'm going to leap on consensus where there is. I will send to this group shortly. No, I won't do it shortly. Miriam, would you mind if I just had a separate call with you in a second?
Want to call me on my cell phone?
Yeah, just I'll do that in a tick. We won't hold everybody else up. But the action items for me are, one, send around the amended text, which has the agreement of the group, just to make sure there's no last hiccups. And secondly, I'll speak to Miriam in a minute, and we will redraft the examples of the limitations.
Good.
Is everyone happy with that?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll include me on the email, or you'll send it to Christina?
No, I'll indeed tell Anna.
Okay.
Include you.
Okay.
No problem. So you don't have to go searching for it.
Okay.
I want to thank you very much, guys. This is a great step forward. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.